come time for our first message. I appreciate Brother Josh Calvert. Been coming to camp meeting now for a number of years, and pastors a welcome home, Baptist Church over above Rutherford in North Carolina. Felt like he ought to preach for us this morning, and he's going to come around, preach to us about 30 minutes. They'll run the, for some of y'all that never been here, we have a red light back here, and you don't see it, but the preacher can see it. And we turn the green light on when you get started, and you got about 3 minutes to go with your time. We turn the yellow light, and when you run out of time, the red light comes on. That way you don't have to worry about looking at your watch that you left at the house and you forgot, you know. It'll just help you. But I appreciate you, Brother Josh. Preach to us. I love you, brother. Amen.
Amen. It's good to be under the arbor this morning. And we appreciate what God done for us last week. And being here in the services, we're glad to be back with you again this week. We had to go home for Wednesday night at our church. And I texted Brother Steve when we got home. I was down in my study studying and listening to my children, just the background noise. And it blessed my heart. They were in the next room playing camp meeting. It went home with us. I'm glad that what happens here goes home with us. I found it to be a helpful place for me and for my family. Amen. I'm glad to be here this morning. Let's turn in our Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 16, please. I invite you to read along with us in God's Word this morning. 1 Samuel 16. I'm not much of a pace setter. I'm slow and at times can be slower than that. And I will say for you other men that'll preach, it can't go nowhere but up from here. So it'll be easy for you in a little bit. 1 Samuel 16, I'm going to endeavor to read 13 verses here this morning, and I'll try to read quickly this morning, but give diligence to the Lord's word. I believe the most important thing we could do, apart nothing that I've got to say or could comment, we ought to give due diligence to what's written before us this morning. We'll deal precisely with his word, and then we'll ask God to honor that. First 13 verses of 1 Samuel 16, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I'll send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. It came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, and the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? He said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. He was a ruddy, withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Samuel rose up, went to Ramah. Pray with us. Father, in Jesus' name, we're thankful for camp meeting. Thankful, Lord, for the work that we see. Lord, the work that we do not see, we appreciate it, Lord. We appreciate Brother Steve, Brother Jamie, and Brother Rule, their leadership and wisdom in the meeting. Lord, we're thankful that this is a pleasant place where the presence of the Lord can be found and be experienced, where the power of God is known and manifest on these hallowed grounds. Do it one more time for us, sir. We pray that you'd honor your word. Bless through the day. Bless now as we try to preach. In Jesus' name, we'll thank you for what's accomplished. Amen. Amen. I'm intrigued about these events that lead up to the selection God's anointed king for Israel. We know that now Saul is reigning, and Saul is a people's king, a people's choice. If there's ever been the permissive will of God, I guess it was here. The people desired a king, and God said, "I'll be your king," but they wanted somebody they could see, something they could touch, something tangible. That's the way you and I are. We'll look to a man most time before we ever look to God. Amen. Yes, sir, I'm reminded what the psalmist said. Some trust in men and some horses and chariots, but we'll trust in our God. They had the only king they needed but didn't want him. God said you can have a king, but it's going to cost you. Samuel listened unto their voice and hearkened unto their words. And anoint Saul. And Samuel rose and rebuked him, said, "It's going to cost you your sons and your daughters. They'll take your crops and your land and your horses and chariots. If you want a king will cost you. If you want to pay the price, have at it." And God let him establish Saul. Samuel pulled out the same anointing oil, brother, that he's fixing to anoint David with, and anointed Saul to stand as the people's king, and time moves on. The only problem, they're living in a compromise, living in a state where God can't bless to the fullest. They've got what they want, but brother, unless you get what God would have for you, you've not got the best. Amen. It comes now, my friend, that God is going to choose him out a king to rule over Israel. And he's looking for a man with a heart of God. And he tells Samuel, "Go down to Jesse's house. There's a king down there in Bethlehem." I see so many parallels here this morning. Just happens I know another king that came from Bethlehem. Amen. And Samuel says, "How can I get to where the king is, Lord? If Saul understands and hears, he'll kill me." And the Lord says, "Take you a heifer. Go down there to worship." Brother, I'll tell you this morning, worship will lead you to the king every time. I was coming home of the evening trying to pray. Wasn't nothing going on in my car. Riding down the road, and I said, "God, I just want to thank you for the glad and happy day that you saved me." Brother, I'll declare business picked up. It wasn't but just a minute I felt the door of the throne room open. Brother, I had church right there in my grand marquee. Just as good as we're having it here, amen. I'll tell you, worship will lead you to the king. If we want to see him this week, brother, I'd say root you out a half an acre, spread back your shavings, purpose in your heart that you've came to worship this week, amen. Verse number 3, God's going to name a king. He said, "Call Jesse to the sacrifice, will you? And I'll call out the name. You can anoint the one I shall name to you." I appreciate that thing being tied up in a name. His name is Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords this morning. Amen. They said over in the book of Acts, there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby men should be saved, but in the name of Jesus. Samuel said, Jesse, bring your sons. Let's sanctify you. We're going to go down here and worship. I like that sanctifying thing. You got to be right before you ever get in the presence of the King. Amen. Before you can ever worship, before a sacrifice dies and blood spilled, you got to get some things right. Now, you preachers may get this reaction. I usually don't get the courtesy of them asking, did I come peaceably or not? Most of them just lock the door and pull the curtains too when I come by. Kind of try to look the other way. I don't understand that all the way, but I don't really think they've got much of a problem with me. I'm harmless. I think it's the Bible I carry and the God I love and the Savior I preach. The elders of the city see Samuel coming and bringing a heifer behind him, said, sir, did you come peaceably this morning? It's not really the words of Samuel, but I believe he said, I come on business for the King. Yeah, I come peaceably, not coming to war. I come on business for the King. One by one, Jesse caused his sons to pass by the prophet that Samuel may recognize the chosen of God, may hear his name in the prophet's ear, anoint him with the sacred oil of anointing. Place God's call on his life and God's approval and put the joy of the Lord on him. Recognize, listen, brother, I believe he was called. Amen. Thank God before this day, he wasn't born to tend sheep. He is born to be a king. He is anointed by God. Amen. Thank God the mud seals of the earth is laid, but now it's coming out before the people. Amen. God's fixing to reveal his man. And one by one, David, Jesse's sons, passed by Samuel. Samuel pulled up on the scene and had sized the outfit up about like you and I would. He looked there at the tallest boy, said, that got to be the oldest. Surely God will work in a way of hierarchy, the way he always has. The family heritage will go to this strapping young man. Surely this is God's choice of a king. He let Eliab, the oldest, pass before him. God gives him here a little hint, a clue, and says, now, Samuel, this ain't the way I really work. You're looking at his stature, and you're looking at his age. You're looking on the outward man, but I'm a looking on his heart. And this one is not my choice. Amen. Preacher, what is wrong with Eliab? I don't know. God didn't really tell us. Just wasn't his choice. Second in line passes by, and the Bible calls him here in verse number 8, Abinadab. He passed before Samuel and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Shema passes by, the third in family chronology, the third oldest sibling. But God looks upon Shema and says, I've not chosen this either. The Bible says here that Jesse has seven sons to pass by Samuel. None of them are God's choice. You and I, or me rather, I'd have said, well, I must miss God. I'd have grabbed the red heifer and drug my tracks out on the way home and said, well, this is a defeated cause. But thank God, brother, and God speaks a word, you can put stock in it. I can see Samuel look around and said, wait a minute, God said there's a king down here. Jesse, is there not another son, one of your sons that maybe I don't see? And just happened to be little David, the youngest, the most unlikely to be king, tending the sheep. Samuel says this, run, fetch him. Send and fetch him. And I'm going to preach this verse, latter part of verse number 11. And Samuel makes this statement as they go to fetch their king.
He says, we're going to stand until the king comes. We will not sit down till he come hither. I want to preach for a minute this morning on we need to stand until the king comes. Brother, I'll tell you, there's not a sitting down place in this, not a dodging out place. I preached at my church the narrow way yesterday morning. I said, I don't believe on the narrow way you can walk two abreast or three abreast or walk in by a crowd. I believe it's a single file line, brother, a personal walk from here to glory. There's nowhere to turn around and go back, because if you turn around, you run into somebody coming behind you. Amen. Thank God there's no place to get the mully grubs and get discouraged, because that man on the way just comes and nudges you on the back and says, keep a walking, brother. We're headed home. I'll tell you what I'm seeing in these days and hours is a lot of people laying her down and a lot of people quitting on God and closing up their Bible and walking away from every bit of truth that they've ever preached or ever cleaved to. And brother, it troubles me this morning. There's no getting out place. There's no sitting down or slowing down place. But brother, we've been called by God to stand until the king comes. He didn't call us to march. No, no, no. He didn't call us to protest and to argue, brother. He just called us to stand with our loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness on. And he said, having done all, just stand. Amen. Brother, I believe fighting would be easier than standing. Huh? It took a lot of courage of that outfit to march seven times silently around Jericho's walls. It'll take more courage to stand than it will to fight. Just stand and trust and stand and pray. Huh? I'm just going to share my heart with you this morning. Samuel said, I believe it'd be right for us to stand till the king comes back. And as we look, they stood in the presence of what God had rejected or not chosen. We don't go to the beach a whole lot, the coast or whatever the sanctified want to call it. But when we do go, I'm amazed that everything on the seashore is alive. Now, I'm a country boy, and you pick up a rock and go to throw it, it's just a rock. But you pick up a rock down there and it's got legs on it. It's alive. And you walk along of a night and the sand sparkles. I guess it's alive. I'm used to red clay soil, but that's kind of like the Word of God, Brother Steve. Everything you touch is alive. And I got to looking at Eliab the oldest. And his name meant something. Yes, sir. It meant God is Father. Well, that's a good name. Good name to have. And I thought, why did God not choose Eliab the oldest? God is Father. It let me see that God was not choosing hierarchy, that God was not choosing a family line, but that God had chosen not hierarchy, but he had chosen the heart. He refused to call the oldest. Listen, friends, I appreciate my heritage. Yea, the lines are falling in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. But brother, I'll tell you, heritage or not, God's not looking on heritage to honor this thing. Brother, if we ever think that just because we've been here for 40 or 55 years that God's going to keep a blessing it, oh no, no, he can shut the lights out on this thing. Brother, I'll tell you, don't let hierarchy get in the way. God's looking on the heart. I don't care who your pastor is or who your mom and daddy is or what position they hold in the church. If your heart is not right before God, God has rejected you this morning. He did not choose Eliab. And he did not choose Abinadab. Now I'm going to tell you, like they say down at the hospital, when I go with folk, just hold still. This won't hurt but a second. It'll be over in a minute. Abinadab means father of liberality. God did not choose the father of liberality. I'll tell you what Webster's dictionary says about liberality. He says it's broad-mindedness. Broad-mindedness. I remember in the early days of my ministry, I probably didn't go about it with the same tact that I would now, having been a few days down the road now, but I was dealing with a man, and he was wanting to fight me over the NIV Bible, telling me how much better it was, my Bible, one thing and another, and I give him some literature, and we prayed, and he cussed, and brother, it is the worst thing I'd ever thought I dealt with. And I kept asking him if he read his Bible, and he said, no, but it's better than yours. I said, you ought to read mine, find out, amen. But I never will forget, he looked at me with disgust. He said, boy, you sure are awful narrow-minded to be so young. I believe it's the Holy Ghost, because my mom and daddy taught me better. I believe it's the Holy Ghost. I looked at him, I said, sir, when you're right, you don't have to be ashamed of that. Amen. Brother, I want to testify to you a minute. I grew up in a church where the New Age movement took that place by storm. There's a few old gray heads and white heads that knew God, and they'd break out the little Stamps Baxter books every once in a while in the choir and sing an old-fashioned number just to pacify the old-timers. But they took down everything that looked like tradition and looked like God. Got them a new Bible. You hearing me? Got them a new songbook. Put the screen up. Tried puppet ministries and basketball. Brother, and I'll tell you, that place is a ghost town today, full of children of the devil, twice dead, plucked up to the roots, and full of hell. I've seen what liberality can do to a place where the gospel is preached, brother, and you don't want it. You don't want it. Amen. Am I in the right crowd this morning? My among friends, I didn't come to hurt you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm glad God sovereignly saved me. Before all of that hell and all that mess come in that crowd, I don't know that you stand a chance getting saved in that liberal environment where nobody will preach on sin and where nobody will deal in power and where nobody will preach in unction. If you believe that Bible, you believe that it takes the power of God to regenerate and to save a sinner, brother. And it's not in most of our churches in these days. Amen. I'm glad I'm in a place today where I believe my children could get saved. I believe we're in the right crowd, the right atmosphere, the right God, the right gospel, that brother, a sovereign God can come under this harbor and on these grounds and among these shavings and redeem the lost from a life of perishing. Hallelujah. God did not choose the father of liberality. And many treat the gospel with indifference under the only name of liberality. They don't like me. They don't like you. They don't like the Bible we carry, the songs we sing. Oh, God, help us, friend. How come everything that's a lie is promoted in this day and everything that's the truth is labeled hate material? I can't answer that fully. I know the mystery of iniquities are working. I know seducers and scoffers are going to wax worse and evil men's going to come on the scene. I realize that we're on the other end of this timeline, fixing to be delivered out of here. I'll tell you, it's been under the name of liberality that we've ended up in such a place as we are. A football coach can swat a boy on the hind end and curse him like a dog in the name of throwing a football, but if a preacher calls him a sinner hatred this morning. We've got something wrong, friends. Yes, sir. I'll say this next fellow, the third son of Jesse, I believe he's as good boys. I can't find nothing against him. Jesse's the real deal. Shema passes by. Samuel looks on him, but God's not chosen Shema. Shema means fame or man of renown. Amen. Loss or consolation of iniquity. That's what pride will do for you. A proud look is the consolation of iniquity. Last I read in Proverbs chapter 6, the Lord hates, God hates a proud look. In Proverbs 21, a high look and a proud heart. The plowing of the wicked is sin. I'll say this to you mamas and daddies. I preach a lot to parents because I am one. That's just where we're living. But you can get puffed up and pride by yourself. Them babies don't need no help in that department. If anything, they need help staying lowly and abased. Don't know what it is about us we want to show off, don't we? Oh, God help us. Raised all three of my children the same, the best as I could. If you give one of them something that you don't give the other two, you got a fight on your hands. And it wouldn't be so bad if the one that you give it to would be quiet about it, but he's got to run in and announce everything. Look what I've got. Look what Daddy give me, didn't give you. I mean, brother, we go forth from the womb speaking lies. We've got a sin nature that the only thing that'll change it's the blood of Jesus. I want to say this, Saul was goodly to look upon. In 1 Samuel chapter number 9, I believe it is, in verse number 2, there's a son of Kish. Saul was the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Kish was a mighty man of power. Saul was of an authoritative line, of a prestigious family heritage. And 1 Samuel 9:2 says that he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. There was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upwards, he was higher than any of the people. Amen. That many as, thank God. Listen, he was accepted among society. My granny used to use this term. She'd say, these terminologies, she'd say, oh, so-and-so's head and shoulders above everybody else. That meant a goody two-shoes. That meant a show-off, a prideful person. And we find that that's what Saul is from the get-go. He's just got that air about him. But, brother, that's what society will choose every time. Are we all right? I'm about done. Can I just preach my heart? I come to you this morning with a broken heart. We'll put our children on a ball field. I'm your friend this morning, I promise I am. And we'll say, run, run, run. You can do it, run. And then we wonder why our churches is empty and our children's gone. It's because somebody's run them off. Say amen. And they'll be playing basketball and we'll say, shoot, shoot, shoot. And we wonder why our children are picking up guns and shooting. It's because there's a crowd out there that's telling them to shoot, 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 amen. Oh, I didn't come to hurt you this morning. I tell you, we'll puff them up in pride and put them on a place of fame. I tell you what I like to see, Brother Steve. It's what happened around the piano this morning. Makes me sit back there and say, sing, sing, sing. I'll tell you why the others are running and shooting and running and shooting. Thank God, God is looking on that crowd that's going to sing. didn't choose these others, and they had to stand in the presence of liberality and heritage, and had to stand in the presence of fame, misplaced fame and pride. I'm closing when I say this. That eighth son passed by, David by name. His name means beloved, beloved of God. Beloved's got to do with the heart, don't it? Can I say this? What did God choose? He chose love. I ain't a hateful preacher. I ain't a hateful preacher. I didn't come with a chip on my shoulder this morning. I tell you what I've found to work, boys, is love. For God so loved the world. 1 John said, God is love. We sing it like this. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Preacher, what's God gonna choose? What's gonna work to get the job done in these last days is for you to love the sinner and you to love God and you to love the people that you worship with. God has chosen love. Can I say this as I'm closing? I find this intriguing. I'll leave you this. Try to end on a good note. Amen. Jesse had 8 sons and 2 daughters. I turned over there to 1 Chronicles, I believe it is, and began to try to find out what their names was. And I found out, Brother Taylor, that 7 of them boys is named expressly, specifically. But that 8th one, you can't find his name nowhere that I found. Maybe you can help me with that in a little while. David's accounted for. Nathaniel, Abinadab, Eliab, Shema, all the other 8 boys. But Jesse has an unnamed son. I believe Samuel went down there that day looking for a king. One of them boys passed by, that name wasn't mentioned. He had a name, I'm sure, but it wasn't revealed to us. Who's he represent, preacher? I think he represents one that's yet to come. Now, I may be wrong, but you can think about that the rest of the week and let me know. Amen. I think it may be one that's yet to come, because Isaiah 11 said, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Amen. I know it wasn't him in person, but I believe it's him in type. And we call his name Jesus. Amen. We'll stand until the King comes. Brother Steve, I'm done.